Blog Talk Radio.
It's a poignant, transcendent journey. Riveting and raucous, it's a wild, exhilarating ride. Everybody fasten your seatbelts.
I am dominating at my fingertips.
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
The following presentation is controversial and may be offensive to some audiences. Discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to another edition of HIAC Talk Radio. I am your host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and of course you can find me at Folsom County. You can also follow the official Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio. Check out the website, HIACTalkRadio.com. There is now an eBay section located there as well, and make sure you check out some of our affiliates. MMA Warehouse, stdcheck.com, in case you were in New Orleans last week and met a lady of the night. But with me, as always, on that note, is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico. How are you tonight, Dan?
I'm confused now, but I'm doing well. You can follow me on Twitter at danlo83 and obey the puck at obeypuckshow.
Well, comedy, New Orleans, kind of goes together.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
I was confused with the lady of the night, and I said, wait a sec.
Well, we won't talk how you make your money now that you've been part of the...
Well, you never know.
You know, the long-term...
Hello, boys.
And he is our wrestling and MMA analyst, the glue that holds us together. It's Omega Squad, Chris Green. Omega, how are you tonight, sir?
Greetings and salutations, people. Follow me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
You have been working on that.
I have been.
You have been working on that. I can see you in your corner office now with your shiny stapler.
That's right. That's what I work on all day.
It took me a year and a half to practice mine. And obey.
All right. Now, tonight we're going to be joined by Alex Bet on Black. He's an MMA fighter out of Texas. His last fight was with Legacy 27. He was victorious, and he actually turned his career around. We're going to talk to him about that. He's also a small business owner in Texas, so we're going to get the scoop on those two things. We're also going to talk about Best of the Best, Dan. You were happy. I was a little persnickety about it.
I didn't say I was happy.
I was a little disappointed, shall we say.
I was just reporting. I was very disappointed, but I was just reporting what happened, and I congratulated the gentleman.
It seemed you were happy.
No, I was just being impartial.
Impartiality. Now, what I want to do right now, I want to start off, since we haven't lost any listeners yet, if we have any right now. We don't get many live listens. But
all in the podcast.
Pretty much. Now, if anybody happens to be listening, I have some tickets, and I'm willing to give out two tickets right now. If you call within the next 15 minutes, you can get tickets to Extreme Midget Wrestling. It's at the Theater of Living Arts there, South Street in Philadelphia. Extreme Midget Wrestling. You can find out more about the Federation at ExtremeMidgetWrestling.com. So, you can call in 718-664-9133 if you happen to be listening and you want some free tickets to Extreme Midget Wrestling.
Should I mention they're for pickup only?
At this point, yes, they would be. You'll meet me. You'll buy me a slice of pizza. And you'll receive your tickets on South Street Monday evening. I'll be there with my former broadcast partner, Brady Hicks.
Brady!
And we are going to have a good time. Yes, Rubbed Raw was a success. I was on the VOC Nation. They said it couldn't happen, Dan, but it did. Like McMahon hugging Eric Bischoff on the set of Raw, it finally happened. I appeared on VOC Nation.
Yes, you appeared on the VOC Nation. I will be appearing on the VOC Nation. And there is something else developing in the wind.
What's this about?
Just say WCW Retro.
Oh, did he get to you about that?
He did, sir.
Okay. Well, very good.
I just need to find out a different situation, find out what nights are good, and it will be going live soon.
Well, not Monday or Wednesday.
Well, those are automatically out of the question.
Out of the question.
I would never do that.
Out of the question.
But he literally asked me, do you want to do WCW? Yes. Uh-huh. Sure.
Well, I told him to check with you. What, Chris, do you want a piece of the VOC pie?
No, I was just feeling left out. But
well,
okay.
You can have a piece of it, you know. You can be rubbed raw by Brady if you want.
Is it apple? I like pie.
I don't think Brady tastes, no.
No? Okay.
No.
I would say he's more of a saltwater taffy taste.
He's more of a salt.
Now,
a water taffy, yeah. A salty
on
bastard.
That note, on that note, yet
I'll
again.
I'll leave now.
On that note, what I would like to do is talk about Raw. Let's start off with they had a fond farewell to the Ultimate Warrior. I couldn't remember his name. But the Ultimate Warrior they said goodbye to, it's because of you, Dan, quite frankly. In the background there, giggling like a little girl. That's what he does. But they had a fond farewell to the Ultimate Warrior, of course, who passed away a week ago on Tuesday. And this was the moment. We're going to relive it. The video, the 10 bell salute, everything. We'll be back in 5. How do you catch a falling star? How do you fix a broken heart? Back when our world glowed from just a spark. He came in and changed the game. Really made us all, whoa, look at this guy.
The power of the Ultimate Warrior is something that you want to feel, that you want to taste.
He just screamed excitement.
Got the power that makes the skies rumble.
He was just on fire all the time. You couldn't help but be inspired by his energy.
The Ultimate Warrior has stood the test of time. He's part of history.
One day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper in something than larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, the running the man did, live forever.
My two warrior girls, you weren't even alive in this world yet when Daddy was doing his Ultimate Warrior thing. But I tell you what, the most awesome thing I will ever do is be your father.
I am Ultimate Warrior. You are the Ultimate Warrior fans. And the spirit of Ultimate Warrior will run forever!
Just give me one more time!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's respectfully pause in silence as we toll the bell 10 times. And now join us tonight as we celebrate the life of the Ultimate Warrior.
Right, so a nice send-off to the Ultimate Warrior. Of course, it is still going on the WWE Network as, well, not as we speak, but 10 o'clock all this week. 10 o'clock, they will be showing various moments from the Ultimate Warrior's career. Last night was Greatest Matches. I'm not sure what's on tonight. Legends of WrestleMania is Friday. I'm not sure, but you can go to HICTalkRadio.com and find out, that's for sure. Just look under the WWE Pays Tribute to the Ultimate Warrior. Now, Dan, your thoughts is, I know we talked about this at length last week, but just your thoughts, the final send-off and what they're doing since then.
You know what, As a fan, I love what they're doing on the network. It's very nice. The fact that they have this access now to extend a tribute like this, which, you know, you only wish they had that kind of coverage in the past. Talking to the different wrestlers, the different comments, and seeing all these matches. Even it was a bit eerie because I just seen the Blu-ray, but seeing the have them interspersed comments from the Warrior, especially about how the story was just beginning and all this other comments. It's really I didn't think I'd get emotional, and I did, and it was very, very tasteful, and it was really good. That video just set me off when they played it last night.
Well, Chris, your thoughts as we wrap up our coverage on Ultimate Warrior, if you're there. Well, all right, I'll move on. Dan, Sting.
He's so choked up.
Dan, Sting made his first appearance on WWE programming.
I felt it was, I'm not going to criticize this. Obviously, it was a tribute to somebody who was his friend. I mean, they started in the business together, and after they, went their separate ways to different companies, I think the communication was at a very minimum, if at all. And they worked together again in WCW. They had a tag team match once, but again, they had really not communicated, and for him to say something, it was really nice. It was a mixture of, oh, there he is, and with a sense, oh man, this is kind of a bummer, you know. I'm looking forward to if he actually has signed. I don't know how official the official word is. Until WWE says something, I'm not going to get my hopes up. But it was cool that they included him. I figured they would, so I was very happy to see that.
Your thoughts, Omega, on Sting, and finishing up with the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, I think Sting's it's interesting that he's on television so early. Especially since they haven't specifically announced his signing, and he certainly hasn't appeared on any wrestling TV. But hey, that's cool. As far as the Ultimate Warrior, I thought it was a nice send off, and we talked at length about this last week, but I think this was a fitting tribute, and it's interesting, that Ultimate Warrior, given all his history with the company, is one of those guys with the stature that's going to get this extended farewell. It's pretty interesting and a little bit ironic.
Yeah. Certainly tinged with irony, especially the bad feelings. A year ago, this would never have happened. He would have gotten a graphic at the beginning, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Now, moving right along, of course, on Raw, Evolution, back together. After so many years, finally, Triple H, Batista, and Randy Orton are back together. Omega, your thoughts on the rejoining of Evolution, one of the most overlooked factions, I think, in wrestling history?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. I think it makes all the sense in the world, if you're going to push the Shield, is to give them the kind of foil that they really need, and that's a really strong faction to go against them. And I think Evolution fits that bill perfectly. It's somewhat serendipitous that Batista is back in WWE now, that they can reform Evolution and make this particular war go on. I think this particular feud. I think it could be really good. And I'd be interested to see if they're going to get like Flair back or someone else or a fourth member of Evolution to maybe turn us up a little bit. We'll see.
Definitely there. Dan, your thoughts? Evolution back together.
They were one of my favorites, and the first thing I thought of after the show ended was, oh man, I hope Flair comes back as the manager or as the mouthpiece. Not that they need a mouthpiece, but Flair is awesome on TV. And it only made sense after it happened, after Shield went face, that they, as Chris said, they needed a good, strong heel team that wasn't already in the middle of something. You couldn't bring the Wyatts in, really, if Bray is feuding with Cena. So I thought it was great, and I was ecstatic. I'm looking forward to this. Well, I loved Evolution. I loved them.
Well, let's talk about Evolution for a minute. Of course, Triple H, you could say, was the most successful member at the time of Evolution. However, as things evolve, they're kind of all equal footing now. They all have won world championships. They've won the WWE championship, so really equal footing. Quite the super faction, so I guess it's really not looking more in-depth to it, just a comment, my comment on it.
Well, I mean, you bring up a very good point. It's not really a vehicle for either one of them this time. It is the three of them as a team to fight another team. They're, perfect way to put it is equal footing, so it's the same, but a little different. I'm really excited where they're going to go with this.
I mean, depending on how this goes, you could really elevate the Shield by having them go over those three guys.
Oh my God, yes.
Well, let's talk about the Shield and how they were taken out. There were 11 men sent out there by the Authority. What is the message that you're sending to the fans when it takes 11 guys to take out three? Omega, your thoughts.
I would say it says that my three guys are really strong guys, really great team, and it takes 11 schlubs all jumping on them for them to take them out.
11 mid-card heels.
11 mid-card heels, yeah, exactly.
I think it makes them look stupid, though.
It does a little bit. I mean,
technically.
There was a few people in that group that I was like, well, why are you sending Rusev out there?
Yeah.
That didn't make a lot of sense to me.
it's funny because Rusev was the one guy I was like, oh, yip-de-doo.
Well, I mean, but you're positioning him as this strong monster guy, and then he has to be part of an 11-man takedown of the Shield?
Yeah.
It seems a little off to me.
certainly. I can agree with that point, especially when he wrestled, what, 30 seconds and won with a camel clutch earlier in the night.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I don't know what they're... I don't get the idea. I like when... what's her name comes out?
Who?
Lana.
Lana, yeah, thank
you. Oh,
you could come out anytime.
Okay.
Just go for it.
The Ravishing Russian.
Anyway, talking about a diva that matters, Paige.
Hell yeah.
The Divas Champion, successful in her first title defense. What do you think about Paige? She has a new number one contender. Snuka's daughter won a battle royal last night on main event. So, we're going to have that match. What do you think about that, Dan?
Kind of makes me nervous a little bit that it wasn't just a vehicle. I just read news that AJ's taking a lot of time off to be with her man. I'm kind of worried if it wasn't just a vehicle to get Tamina the title. I'm hoping that this turns into a long feud.
Fair enough. Fair enough. How about you, Chris?
I love Paige, by the way. I think she's great. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to I meant to finish that thought. Chris.
Yeah. No, I thought Alicia Fox and Paige put on a really good match.
They did.
On Monday night.
More than 5 minutes. It was technically sound.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Alicia Fox, I was like, wait a minute, that's Alicia Fox. I didn't think she could wrestle at all.
It's the thing that they have this, unfortunately, I even feel crappy for saying it, they have this reputation that they got to beat now of honestly looking like crap.
Yeah.
And that was phenomenal on Monday. Yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I mean, and I actually think that we really haven't seen it. As someone who hasn't really had a chance to see Paige on NXT, I don't know that I have much of an opinion on Paige yet, other than she looks like she can wrestle, and I did see her on NXT Arrival and did see that she can wrestle, so I do know she has ability.
Mm.
So I'm interested to see more of that. I'm wondering if Tamina Snuka is going to be that person to bring that out of her. But then again, who else is going to do it? I mean, I might be more interested in Paige versus Natalya.
Yeah,
that's exactly where I was going. But I mean, whatever. I mean, Tamina Snuka makes a little bit of sense with the AJ storyline, and that's fine. So,
do you think Natalya will ever get a push to the top again?
No. Moving right along, there's an Intercontinental title, number one contender tournament. Do you think it was necessary?
No. Absolutely not. You asked it. You tweeted about it, Dean. I was thinking the same thing. Why is there a tournament?
Now,
why not?
On Rubbed Raw, Brady Hicks of In the Room took the position that they're trying to create prestige to the title again. It just that title means nothing really at this point.
It means more than the U.S. title.
Certainly, but both secondary titles are just nothing, really. So the fact that these eight guys have to go through a tournament simply to get a shot at Extreme Rules is just kind of weird. And if it's to elevate Cesaro, how could you top his night that he had at WrestleMania?
Chris, your thoughts? I don't think it's weird at all.
Really?
I mean, if you're positioning this as a sport, you have tournaments. I mean, it's how you establish contenders in other sports. I think it's completely fine. I'd rather see tournaments than see random guy gets pulled out of the air to get a title shot.
Now, Swagger over the weekend won the Intercontinental title. Brad Maddox restarted the match. Maybe it was a flub. I don't know. I wasn't there. But Swagger did win the title. It wasn't recognized on television. And Big E won the title back.
They never do that on a dark show.
13 times since 19. But anyway, my point to all that, and Dan, you can speak about this, is why did you think it wasn't necessary? Pretty much the same feelings I had, or just elaborate on that?
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was needed. If we assume, and I'm making the assumption, and it's just an assumption, and I've been wrong before, so I'm okay with that, that Cesaro is eventually just going to take it.
It's probably going to be the final Sheamus and Cesaro.
I just didn't understand. I just feel they could have gone a different way of presenting it. If you're looking at it like Brady is, as adding prestige back to the title, I can go along with that. But my original feelings were they could have jump-started that feud and make it about the title for a different way. I just thought it was, I don't know, I was like, oh, okay, tournament. Yeah.
Well, I think they need to elevate the title. I mean, they need to make it more prestigious because they only got one title now, really. They only have they have both belts are in one guy. And if they're not splitting those up anytime in the near future, they're going to need another belt.
You would be very shocked to learn, Omega, that you are pretty much mirroring the thoughts of Brady Hicks.
Of Brady Hicks?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not that shocked about it. It makes logical sense to me.
Oh, just stop it. It doesn't make sense at all. Give it to Cesaro. He wins the title. Boom. There's your prestige. He would raise it to new heights. But actually, let's go back and think about
it. Well,
doesn't
it elevate Cesaro more? They have to go through the likes of Mark Henry and guys like that to get at the Intercontinental title.
Really? What does Mark Henry mean now? He's a glorified jobber for the mid-card now.
He gave him the neutralizer. This guy's 400
barely
pounds. Well, he's heavy.
Barely.
I don't see you picking up Mark Henry.
I wouldn't even attempt it. Mark Henry, I'd see him and say, see you, Mark. Nice knowing you. But that's not the point. I'm just saying it doesn't make much sense. If it's to put it on Cesaro, put it on a Heyman guy, and raise the prestige of the title again, it just doesn't make sense because of the WrestleMania he had. Now, they tried it before with Curtis Axel. He was a Heyman guy, if you recall. And they put the title on him, and before you knew it, he was jobbing out. Then I'm trying to think. Big E beat him, was it? Beat Curtis Axel?
It Big E? I think it was Big E.
And he was the next big thing until he won the title. Momentum stalled completely. Maybe this is a way that he would continue the momentum going from WrestleMania, the Battle Royal, winning this tournament, and then raising the prestige of the title. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But your final thoughts, Chris?
I think Cesaro has got more momentum behind him than either Axel or Big E has. So I don't see this as necessarily a situation where Cesaro gets the title and then drops back down. It could very well be. We've seen that numerous times. But I really think that this is the stepping stone for him. It's going to be, like Warrior, it's going to be the step for him before he gets up to the main event card. I'm fine with the tournament format.
You think they're going to go back to that old route where the Intercontinental title, they kind of gauge where you stand with that and take the momentum and move you upward and onward?
I think that's some of that. I think Triple H is a traditionalist in some sense and does hold that slightly. So I think he's going to bring that in.
Well, if you recall, before Triple H and The Rock were in main events, Triple H and The Rock were main eventing SummerSlams, as Dan and I were talking about off air. Dan, your final thoughts on Cesaro and everything?
No, it just made me think about, I don't understand, and there's probably a simple answer for this, I don't understand why each title isn't a stepping stone to the next step or title. You know what I mean? Like, U.S. means, okay, eventually he's getting an IC title shot. And IC title means eventually you're stepping into the main event position. Eventually, you know what I mean? I liked it that way. When the IC title was won, eventually you were going to be in the main event for the title at one point. I'm hoping they kind of go back to that. Other than that, I'm just kind of sticking with the tournament is just meh. It's a good way. The only other thought I have is, and that's my final thought, is it's a good way to put up matches and have them mean a little more on Raw and on SmackDown and stuff.
Well, fair enough. So, our final thoughts on Raw. What would you give it if you were to give it a grade? Let's give it a grade, not stars. I would give it a solid B+. Omega.
Yeah, I feel like a B+ was pretty good. I mean, there's no Daniel Bryan on it. I thought the Cena thing was kind of weak, so I'll give it a B+.
All right.
Yeah, I was actually going to give it a B because of the Cena thing, but I can agree and bump it up to a B+.
All right, so that was Monday Night Raw. And see, the good thing is we actually had a half hour to talk about it, so something happened. Worth discussing. We can think of it that way. But right now, our guest has arrived, and it is Alex Bet-on-Black. He's an MMA fighter out of Texas. Chris, your impressions on Alex Bet-on-Black before we bring him on?
Yeah, I've seen a few of his fights. I think he's got a really good submission game. Looks like he's got a good athleticism, and I'm really interested to talk to him.
All right, so he'll be on right after this.
I was thinking about this. Bitch on the news, yeah, they see about this. Even in the paper, they gon' read about this. Cause all of my life, training day and night, I'm preparing to fight for everyone. Never leave crowds going insane. Yeah, they screaming our name while we spraying champagne. Nothing nobody can say. Cause today is the day.
All right, joining us at this time, it is MMA fighter out of Texas, most recently fought for Legacy Fighting. It is Alex Bet-on-Black. Alex, how are you doing here tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are y'all?
We are doing well. You're also with Chris, and Dan, if he has a comment, will chime in as well. Now, I just wanted to start out, it's a very simple question. It is, where did you decide to start training for an MMA fighting career?
I started at a school called Bushibon. It's kind of a traditional martial arts, but they had an MMA program there where I grew up in the fort, and just kind of walked in the door one day, and it all started.
Okay, so it started there at Bushibon. Now, what was it like training under the master that was there at the time? He means a lot to your career, even to this day.
Oh, yeah. I still have him in my corner every time. I still train with him, try to get at least 2 days a week with him. You know, he's been doing martial arts for 40 years, and he's traveled all around the world in different countries doing different stuff. So he's not really just one style. He has a... he's always open-minded to a bunch of different styles, so it's always really cool to get his perspective on stuff.
All right, so how long did it take you to start training in MMA to actually have your first amateur fight?
I had my first fight in 3 months. I got thrown in there kind of quick.
Oh, wow. So what was that experience like getting in there? With 3 months of training, you get into the cage.
It was a lot of nerves, kind of scared when I was walking out, but once you get in there, all the nerves kind of go away, and it's just kind of be ready. But it was my submission game was really good starting out, so that was mainly the reason I got my fight so quick. I was submitting a lot of guys in the gym real early on, so... figured I'd just be ready, and it was funny because my first fight, it didn't even really go to the ground. It was straight all stand-up the whole time.
How did you adapt to that?
My coach, he has extremely good striking. He's really not even much of a jiu-jitsu practitioner. It's just I always liked watching YouTube jiu-jitsu matches and kind of trying to catch on to stuff. And so his striking kind of got me ready for it. I didn't have the greatest striking yet, but we kind of just threw down. It really wasn't too technical. I didn't really shoot in. He shot in a couple times, but it just kind of was a brawl for the first fight.
There you go.
So did you always have a wrestling background at all when you started out? Or did you just go straight into the submission grappling?
Yeah, I just went straight into the submission grappling and MMA. I did a little bit of karate when I was younger. I got to, like, red belt or something, but I didn't do too much after that. So, I started when I was 20 and just went straight into the MMA game.
Now, was there much coaching to get you to decide to actually fight, or was it just something you always wanted to do once you started training? You really wanted to get in and actually do actual combat.
Yeah, that's the very first day I walked in, I told my coach I wanted to fight. I was a big fan of UFC and everything, and I always thought it would be something really cool to be able to do. So that was my first thing I told him. I said, man, I'm not really rushing. I don't want to fight today or tomorrow, but, you know, that's definitely something is one of my dream of mine.
So how long before you went pro?
It was 2.5 years.
How many fights did you have during that time on the amateur level?
I had 12. I had 10 MMA and 2 kickboxing.
Oh, wow. So 12 fights in about 2.5 years.
Yeah, I stayed really busy. I like to, after the first one, I was kind of hooked, and I fought almost every other month for almost 2.5 years.
Wow. Wow, not a lot of people do that. Is that something you still want to do as a professional?
I would love to be able to, but it's hard to find fights that often. So I'm under contract with Legacy right now, so they really can't put me on every other card pretty much they have. So I have to wait about 4 months in between fights, which is good. I would like to fight at least every 3 months, but I could live with the wait.
Okay. Chris, did you have anything to follow up, or?
No. Well, I was just going to ask on the when you made your pro debut, you started off with a fairly quick win, and you again you said you come from a submission base, but you actually your first pro victory was a TKO victory. How'd that feel to be that first fight, and how'd that go for you?
It was awesome. I fought a really good wrestler. So I knew he would probably put me on my back, and I knew he was a brown belt in jiu-jitsu also, so I knew he'd be hard to submit. I caught him a submission at the end of the first round, but it was just a little too late, and in the second round they just told me, he's going to be even harder, we're sweaty now. So I just went out there, he's throwing a lot of inside leg kicks, so I just kept countering with my straight left and caught him with one and kind of just blitzed him until the ref stopped it.
Cool. So after your first win, looks like you had three successive losses. What do you think was lacking in your game for those losses, and what'd you learn from that? What'd you train to overcome it?
At that point, I wasn't the best guy in the gym, but it was me and two other guys that were just kind of the only guys there that were really regular, and it was just us training with each other, so it was really hard to get better. And at that point, I was fighting really good guys for just having one pro fight. My next couple opponents had really good records. So I eventually found 4-Ounce Fight Club, where they have some really, really good pros, a couple guys in the UFC. So I started training there and really started progressing and got to get better and better. So it took a little while. A little growing up, but it finally started. After once I found 4-Ounce, then everything started turning back around.
Now, what was the biggest change when you went from 4-Ounce, well, from Bushy Band to 4-Ounce Fight Club? What was the biggest change for you?
Really, just the training partners, better sparring. I went from kind of beating everybody up at the gym to being the one getting beat up, and. It made me work harder to try to get as good as these guys. And, we always, now it's to the point where we can all push each other, and we've got a bunch of really good guys. So one guy's better at striking, one guy's better at wrestling. So we can keep making each other better instead of just one guy being the best at everything in the gym.
All right. So after that, it seems you got your game back, so to say, and you picked up, at this point, five in a row. You fought for Big Dog Promotions. You fought for Legacy. You fought for a few different promotions. Do you really give the credit to 4 Ounce Fight Club for that, or was it something mental, or what exactly got you on this winning streak that you're currently on?
I took about 2 years off, but there were about a year and a half between my last loss until I got back to winning. And it was a lot just being at 4 Ounce, you know, continuing to learn, get better. When I was fighting so regular, I didn't have time to get better because I was always just staying active, always just getting ready for fights instead of learning. So they made me take time off and just progress and get better. So it has a lot to do with the 4 Ounce, and I'm very thankful for everything they've done for me.
So what's been the biggest change in your game since over your professional career?
Really just seeing everything better. When I went out there, when I first started, I was just kind of, you know, not trying to set stuff up. I was just kind of, if I threw a punch, it was just to throw the punch. It wasn't to set anything up. So now I'm a lot smarter fighter than what I used to be. I used to just go out there and kind of throw down standing and then just try to throw up submissions all the time whenever I was on the ground. Now if I'm on top on the ground, then I'm more monotonous. I try to take my time and, set up everything instead of just going crazy and diving for submissions.
Now, one thing I did want to bring up is before we get into your current career and what happened with your last fight for Legacy, you also are a small business owner. You own OSS Combat Productions. Are you still involved with that?
Yes, sir. I do production for MMA fights all around Texas, some in Louisiana. I actually just got back from Lake Charles doing a show at Delta Downs on the 3rd, so I was out there getting ready for that today.
Oh, wow. So what does that entail? That's pretty much a full-service MMA production company, right?
Yep. What we do is we own the cage, the sound, the video, the lighting, everything. Pretty much what a promoter has to do is all they have to do is promote when they use us. They don't have to worry about getting everything set up. We bring it all. We set it up. We break it down. All they have to do is deal with the commission and the fighters.
Wow. Wow. Is there any links or anything if people are interested? Go ahead and plug your business there.
You can just always give me a call. I have my cell phone. It's 713-591-6647. And we don't really have an office or anything because it's a small business. But I do about 25, 30 shows a year. I actually do all the Legacy shows also. So I travel with them, always doing all their stuff.
All right. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Yeah. sorry. So you said you're under contract for Legacy Fighting. How has working with them been? What's it like working for them?
Oh, it's awesome. I love everybody there. My very first fight was Lone Star Beatdown, which is now Legacy Amateur Series. So I've known Mick and Andrea for about almost six years now. So they're awesome to work with. Everybody's really great on the Legacy team. And it's definitely a good promotion to be a part of.
All right. Now, that last fight you had at Legacy 27, you won with a triangle choke. It really came out of nowhere. And it was a minute 33 into the second round. Just go back. And that was actually your first, before we get there, that was your first televised fight. And that's actually where I saw you for the first time. So what was that like, knowing that you're going to be on TV, on Access TV, and this is, you know, like the big time, so to say?
It was really kind of nerve-wracking. I was definitely nervous about being on TV. It was kind of scary, but cool at the same time. There was a lot of nerves walking out with the camera in front of you and everything. It was a little scary.
Is that hard to adapt to as somebody who hasn't been on television the first time? You have the camera, you have the lights, you're doing the vignettes for Access TV. Is it a little intimidating for a person?
Definitely. It can be intimidating. When I was walking out with the big bright light in front of me, I was definitely kind of worried. You know, my mom's back home watching this and that. So I didn't want to, you know, get knocked out on national television. So, but once I got in the cage, it kind of all went away. And, you know, it's just been time to put the game plan together.
All right. Now, what's that like when, because a lot of fighters, when we have them on, they talk about their game plans. How do you come up with a game plan for somebody who's not a fighter, but they enjoy watching fights? How do you come up with that game plan? Is there a lot of studying tape? What exactly goes into that?
What I try to do is just kind of find their strengths and try to find ways to beat that strength. Because, you know, this last guy I fought, he was a good wrestler. But when he threw punches on the ground, he stayed real open. He kind of swung wide and it opened up for a lot of submissions. So that was kind of, I would watch it and just kind of see how I could set up my submissions. I don't really go in thinking, okay, I'm going to triangle this guy, I'm going to armbar him. I just try to see different ways I can beat him and what I don't want to do with him.
Okay, now, so your sparring partner would then go into those type of situations and that's what you would train on?
Uh-huh, yep. One of my sparring partners, Dana Pineda, he's a phenomenal wrestler. And that he would mainly just throw big punches at me and then try to push me up against the cage, take me down. That's pretty much what he did during the fight. His first takedown I stuffed, but then the next one he got. He was a really good wrestler. So it's always hard to stop those guys from taking you down.
Okay, so take us into that triangle choke and when you made up your mind that you were going to go for it.
The first one, I was kind of mad because I caught him in a triangle in the first round, and I just made one minor mistake, and he ended up getting out. He started kind of rolling to his back, which I thought he was giving up mount. So I got kind of excited because once you get a mounted triangle, it's pretty much over. And he turned back around and kind of opened my legs up. He was really strong. So I bailed for the armbar, which was a bad decision. So in the second round, I knew I could get back to the triangle, but it was, how should I finish it this time? And the second one, I just kind of took my time and slowly worked it to get it tight, and then I made sure I just hooked the leg so he can empower out of it, and he fell over, and I got the tap.
Now, also part of that, you did get the finish bonus that Legacy has instituted, so that had to be nice, getting an extra $1,000 for getting the finish.
Yeah, it's really awesome because as fighters, you know, we don't make really great money until, you know, we get to the UFC or anything. So any kind of extra cash is always great. And RES doing the whole $1,000 finish bonus is definitely really good for us fighters at Legacy.
Now, is that something that really motivates you and your fellow fighters, something like that, the finish bonus to actually get the finish?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely motivating. I always like to finish fights. Every fight that I've won, I've finished. I haven't won a decision since, I think, my first fight went to a decision when I was an amateur. And ever since then, I've finished everybody else. So I don't like to fight the full time. I like to get in and get out as fast as possible.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now, and Omega, we'll get to your question in just a second. Actually, of all your professional fights, only one went to decision, and that was three minute rounds. So, wow, you don't see that a lot. You certainly, I guess, George St. Pierre is not one of your one of the people that you look up to.
You know, I definitely love his style and everything, but I like to be a finisher. I always go in there looking for the finish, especially if he gets into the third round and it's a close fight. The one decision I did lose, to this day, it was a split decision. I still feel I won it. Me and Tim Snyder were actually really good friends now. We play around about it every once in a while. But, you know, I never trust the judges, you know. So I like to get in there and finish fights.
So you're on a five-fight winning streak. You've got five finishes to your name. What's next for you?
I'm fighting June 13th, Houston again for a legacy. He is 4-1 right now. He's a good, another good wrestler. Definitely a hard fight for me, but yeah, it's another very winnable fight, and I'll be starting my training camp next week.
So what are you going to be working on in that training camp to prepare for that fight?
This one, you know, of course, I'm always working my submission game, but I want to really start pushing my striking again. I want to start getting those TKOs. I haven't got a TKO since, I think, 2011 or something like that. So I actually want to knock out. I've never knocked anybody out yet out of all my amateur fights and pro fights. I still haven't got the knockout. I've got TKOs, but no knockout yet.
Is there something specific you're going to train to get that striking up? Is it Muay Thai? Is it boxing?
I definitely, Crew Bob at 4 Ounce, he's an awesome Muay Thai instructor, but my style, I'm not much, I like to use my footwork, I like to move, I have decent kicks when I decide to use them, so I definitely would like to land a good head kick and get the knockout, but I'll take it however I get it.
All right, now, do you have any sponsors or your gym that you want to give a shout-out to?
Oh, yeah. Trinity Energy Services, my business partner with OSS, he owns that also, and they really take care of me whenever I'm getting ready for fights. And, Bushy Bond and 4 Ounce Fight Club and Legacy Fighting Championship for letting me be a great company to fight for.
All right. Now, where can people follow you if they're interested to follow your career as – What's your end game? You want to continue fighting. I've read a few different interviews, but you want to continue fighting on a high level. So eventually, your goal is obviously UFC.
Oh yeah. Right now, you know, I'm just looking for that legacy belt. But eventually, I'd really like to fight in the UFC, and hopefully, it can happen in the next year. You know, I think if I get 2 or 3 really good wins in this year, beginning of next year, you know, I think it can happen. So that's the ultimate goal. But if I fight for Legacy my whole career and, you know, get to be their champion, I'll be completely happy with that too.
All right. Alex, is there any place people can follow you on social media if they want to catch up with you?
Twitter, Instagram, AlexBetOnBlack, and Facebook, just Alex Black.
All right. I want to thank you for your time tonight. It was great getting to know you, and you're welcome back anytime. Maybe after that June fight, we'll catch up with you and see what's going on and how the fight went for you.
Definitely. That'd be awesome.
All right. Well, you have a good night, Alex.
You too.
I was thinking about this. Bitch, on the news, yeah, they see about this. Even in the paper, they gon' read about this. Cause all of my life, training day and night, I'm preparing to fight for everyone in the league. Crowds going insane, yeah, they screaming our name while we spraying champagne. Nothing nobody can say, cause today is the day. It's the day that I have always dreamed of.
All right, so that was Alex Bet on Black. Make sure you check him out on Twitter at Alex Bet on Black. And he is an exciting up-and-comer, I do believe. Omega, your impressions after that?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen him, he's got great athleticism, great submission skills. If he can work on his striking and be more well-rounded, I think he's going to be have some great success in MMA.
Indeed. And hey, Legacy seems like a launching point, quite frankly.
Yeah.
For the USC. Benoit is one. I think Hollis, if he got past, I can't even forget the guy he wrestled. He's Cejudo? One of the, yeah, Cejudo. If he got past Cejudo, maybe we'd be talking about Ryan Hollis as well. Hollis actually was successful in his last MMA fight, breaking a two-loss streak. So he finally did pick up a win. Yeah. He has a great YouTube out there, too.
Yeah.
And he won by slam. I'm not sure if you saw that.
I did not see that. I'll have to go back and check that out.
I'll send you the link, the YouTube, on that, because Ryan Hollis was, I think, besides Jeremy Oy, who has since retired from the fight game, was our first fighter that we got. I saw him come out for Legacy, I think it was 18, in a banana suit, and I said, let's try to get that crazy guy on.
Let's get the guy in a banana suit. Why not?
I didn't know Jeremy retired.
Yeah, yeah. He had some medical issues.
Oh, all right.
But we'll leave it at that. Omega, are you ready?
I am unequivocally ready.
Because there has been a lot going on. Even as we speak, there's a lot going on.
Yep.
April 11th was the day from Dew Arena in Abu Dhabi. I just like saying Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi.
That's right. From there, it was on Fight Pass. It was a Fight Pass card. Luckily, I got to see the finish of this one. Roy Nelson, as expected, knocked out the old man. Big Nog went down. First round, 337. And boy, did he ever go out.
Yeah, I think that's as bad a knockout as we've seen in a long time. You know, you just cannot mess with Roy Nelson's power. He's got power. If you let him get a shot out and let him connect, he's going to hurt you. And he did it two or three times before ultimately landing the right hand that put Nog stiff as a board on the canvas.
There's a term in baseball, a walk-off home run. This was a walk-off knockout, and my goodness, he just crushed him, turned around, and walked away. He knew. He didn't go in for extra damage. He just knew that Nog was out.
Oh, yeah, and I think everybody knew it. I mean, there was no question, and yeah, that was as definitive a finish as you're going to see in MMA.
So what's this mean for Roy Nelson? We were talking about this on Twitter after the fight. What do you think this means for Roy Nelson? Back up the rankings, or what do you think? Where does he go from here?
I don't know if it necessarily gets him up the rankings, but I think it opens up a lot of possibilities for fights that with guys he hasn't fought yet. You certainly think that Roy Nelson now deserves a step up in competition from Big Nog. So you look up the rankings, right? Roy is currently ranked number 9. You've got ahead of him, you've got Mark Hunt, Stipe Miocic, Alistair Overeem, Josh Barnett. I think any of those guys could be a fight for Roy Nelson. You know, I briefly entertained the thought of Bigfoot before I realized he was on suspension. So
yeah.
I think Roy's got – I think a fight against Mark Hunt makes a lot of sense. Maybe not Miocic, because I think he lost Miocic pretty badly, and Miocic really doesn't need a rematch with that. So I'm thinking Overeem or Hunt is my most likely picks, but I wouldn't mind seeing Barnett.
I'd like to see Barnett or Overeem. I think both are good tests. Overeem, it really depends which one comes, if it's the lay and pray that we saw in his last fight or... But he was devastating in a lot of ways. He did hurt Frank Mir, but I think he fought safely, which is because of his previous two fights with Bigfoot and Brown. He didn't want to take those chances again, so he fought safe, and Dana White had a problem with that. But whatever. I think he's just mad at the contract that he signed.
Yeah.
Now, where do we go for Big Nog here? He dropped down two spots. He's now 13th in the rankings. Where retirement?
I don't really want to see him fight again. after taking that kind of drubbing, that kind of KO, I don't really want to see it. He really doesn't have anything to prove.
He doesn't.
He's been a champion. I know he talked about, or his manager at least talked about, that Big Nog won another fight with Frank Mir.
Maybe they both retire after that.
That's fine. I mean, if you really have to have a fight, I guess Frank Mir's okay because he's not going to destroy you with power. He might submit you, but I don't care if he submits you. That's not,
By time his next fight rolls around, he's going to be 38. 38 for a fighter, you're really on borrowed time.
It's really not about the 38, really.
Well, it's the number of
fights. It's the number of fights. Yeah,
and the competition he faced while in Pride.
Yeah, I mean, it's the number of fights, it's the damage he's taken in the fights, and the level of competition. He just, as you said, I mean, he's been in a lot of wars. He's taken a lot of damage. We don't really need to see it. He doesn't have anything to prove. If he really wants to have one more fight with Frank Mir, I can't deny him. It's his life, but I don't think he's going to be relevant in the heavyweight division again. And I don't really want to try to see him attempt to be relevant in the heavyweight division.
Well, I wouldn't even think that he feels relevant anymore, if that makes sense. But moving on from that, I certainly tend to agree with you. It's probably time to hang up the gloves. But someone who defies hanging up the gloves every time he starts looking bad, he starts looking good again. That's Clay Guida. He picked up the decision win, 30-27 on all three judges. What'd you have to? Did you see this fight?
Yeah, I did see this fight. It was a typical Guida fight. Was pretty much all over Tawajiri, and he's not. He didn't win all three rounds. I thought Tawajiri got the better of him in the second round. But overall, I think this was his. This was a good fight for Guida. He really kind of needed a good decisive win. I think he picked it up. So,
okay.
But I mean, I don't know if it really impressed me. I think walking in there, I kind of expected Guida to just kind of run over Tawajiri, and he did. So,
now what's next for Guida? He moved up the rankings. He's now in the top 10. Well, he was in the top 10, but he moved up to 8. So. What do you have to say about Guida? What's next for him? Do you throw him in there? Has he fought Seaver?
I don't know if he's fought Seaver, but Seaver is on suspension, so we can't fight him.
These guys, they're suspensions.
Yeah. I look at Dustin Poirier just won in his fight tonight, so that could be a fight for him. We'll see. I mean, he's good for a gatekeeper. I think we said that on a number of occasions in this program. I don't see him getting a top echelon talent at this point, but someone in that mid-level range or someone up and coming, we could see that.
So. Do you ever think Guida gets back up to a potential title fight? He's been there before, but he just can't break through. Do you think he gets the chance again, the opportunity at featherweight, a new weight class for him?
I think only if Aldo really decimates all the other challengers. And quite frankly, Aldo's getting close, but, I mean, you sit there and you say, well, do I really want Clay Guida over maybe a rematch with Chad Mendez?
Yeah.
Right, so, and in that intervening time, who else is going to rise up the rankings and present themselves as a possible contender? So, I mean, I think Guida is in that, is hoping that everybody else falls apart and maybe he gets a shot just because they need a challenger. But the as often as Jose Aldo is fighting, that's going to be a while. So,
anything else on this card worthwhile?
I thought the Ryan LaFleur fight. I thought he was impressive, and I also thought looking at the prelims, there wasn't much to write home about there other than Talis Latis had a very very strong TKO finish in his fight. So, and Jared Broschold, who we talked about last week, won a boring but effective unanimous decision victory. So
now the bonus awards fight of the night went to Guida and Kawajiri, and performance of the night went to Roy Nelson and Najim. Anything to say about Najim?
Oh, he looked great. That's the other fight that I should have mentioned. Is Ramsey in the gym looked really good. So he had a very strong TKO victory. Really, really overpowered his opponent and looked good doing it. So
they of course all get $50,000 bonuses. Now the attendance was 7,963. The total gate 1.8 million, and that was Abu Dhabi. Now tonight there have been some fights, and let's take a look. Has the main event happened yet?
The main event is ongoing. We are in the fourth round.
Who's ahead on your scorecard?
I actually think Kennedy's ahead.
Okay.
It's turned into a little bit of a wrestling match in the first and third rounds. And Kennedy's definitely getting the better of the wrestling. When they're on the feet, Bisping is getting the better of the striking, but we know Bisping doesn't have a terrible amount of power, so I don't think Kennedy's getting terribly hurt. But we still got half a round of round four here, and looks like they're both starting to get tired. So,
Well, this is Bisping's first fight in some time since his injury, so we'll keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on it there, Omega, if you can.
Yep.
I know you're on double duty.
Now, I'm trying.
One thing I want to talk about this card is George Roop, the man who somehow hangs on by a thread to a UFC contract, picked up a win tonight by unanimous decision. 29-28, 30-27, and 29-26. Those are some odd scores. Omega, what happened in that one? Did you happen to catch it? Or?
Yeah, I haven't caught that one. So, no. There's most of these I haven't seen, unfortunately.
We did see KJ Nunes knocking out Sam Stout, and Sam Stout tried to guillotine the referee afterwards.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. If you watch that... If you watch that KO, it almost looks like he doesn't hit him. It almost looks like he just barely hits the chin. But after further review, it's obviously a solid hit. But it's
a solid hit that puts him down, and then it's another solid hit to follow it up on the ground.
Yeah,
my
those
goodness.
Are pretty bad. So you know, KJ Nunes, where did he come from?
But wasn't he a Strikeforce guy? I know that was a rhetorical question, but wasn't he Strikeforce?
He was Strikeforce. He was Elite XC before that.
Okay.
He was really, really kind of there. They tried to talk him up a lot in Elite XC, and he just really hasn't done anything since coming over to Zuffa.
Well, he's 2-1 in UFC now. He
yeah.
lost to Cerrone, Sotiropoulos he beat, and now Sam Stout. So,
I mean,
he didn't do too much in Strikeforce, though.
No, he didn't.
Up and down.
That's what I was saying. He was even in Elite XC. He was one of those guys they were touting, and then he lost that. He was one of the guys that they were, like, really pushing, and then he comes out and loses to Crazy Horse Charles Bennett
yeah.
in the first fight. So,
yeah.
Kind of funny. But.
Anything you did catch tonight that you can comment on?
Yeah, there's the co-main event of Cote versus Noak. Ended up with Cote winning, basically getting the better got the better of the striking, and actually... kept Noak on his back for quite a bit of the fight. So good for Patrick Cote. I like Cote. It wasn't a terribly exciting fight overall, but it was good win for Cote. Something to hang his hat on, and at least probably gets him another fight in the UFC.
Now, interesting to know is that he is the winner of 7 of his last 8. I find that striking, quite frankly. Now, this isn't all UFC. UFC, he started off with a losing streak. That's one of the first loss. He lost to Kung Lee. But he, since then, has won 3 straight. So are we seeing the resurgence of Patrick Cote?
Hard to say. I mean, I don't know that it is a resurgence per se. Sure, winning 3 in a row in UFC, I mean, you could call it. But, I mean, the guys he's fought, the wins, his last wins, obviously that win versus Alessio Sakara was based with a DQ victory. So, Bobby Volkler isn't much to write home about, and Kyle Noak has not been terribly impressive in the UFC either. So,
he is a former light heavyweight contender fighting Tito Ortiz at UFC 50. That's how long this guy has been around the UFC off and on. So,
Cote?
Yeah, Cote.
Well, he fought Anderson Silva.
Did he? Yeah, he
did. Remember that knee injury?
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty brutal. He was out for a year off of that
one. So he's a former middleweight and a former light heavyweight contender. No, Tito actually lost by this time. This was actually an eliminator I'm thinking of at USC 50. So yeah. He's a former middleweight contender. To clarify, Ortiz lost to Liddell, I think, by that point. So there, we fact-checked ourselves.
There we
so,
go.
What, the main event being announced, or?
No. I said, there we go. I said, we're fact-checking ourselves.
Oh, yes. You have to. We're not Fox News here.
We don't have a team of analysts. We don't have a team of analysts giving us stats and stuff.
Did you want to say anything about Sarah Kaufman and Leslie Smith?
I heard it was a good fight. I think that's a good victory for Sarah Kaufman to establish herself. I heard she looked good doing it. Keep in mind that Leslie Smith took this fight on 8 days' notice.
True.
So, I'd like to see Leslie Smith, who is capable when she has a full camp. I'd like to see Sarah Kaufman get a top talent in the women's division, because I think she is good, or at least I want to see her tested again. I'm not sure she's going to get back up in the rankings enough to challenge Rousey, but I think she can certainly be, she's ranked number 5. I think she can take Misha Tate. I'd like to see her fighting Alexis Davis again. So really, I think the next fight for Sarah Kaufman that makes a lot of sense, since Alexis Davis is getting Rousey, is Kat Zingano in her next fight back.
Sure.
So, I like that fight a lot.
Is Zingano coming back? I know she had a lot of issues.
Yeah, she's coming back from her injury. She's coming back from the death of her husband.
Yeah.
She is coming back. I'm not sure when yet.
Well, there you go. But that's good news for the women's division, as Rousey is running out of credible contenders, and they're trying to manufacture ones for us. Now, this
Alexis
Saturday...
Alexis Davis is good, so don't get... That's...
Oh, sure. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they have...
They need to find others. Yes, I agree.
Because she's, McMahon, I thought, was a little too early, quite frankly.
I agree, though.
I think I think it was a stoppage, and we'll probably disagree on that, but the stoppage was a little early, I thought. I thought McMahon was trying to defend. She did drop, and she was clutching, and she seemed injured, so whatever, you got to get over it and move on. But anyway... moving on, Saturday we have UFC on Fox. That's the network. It's headlined by a pretty big fight. It's a heavyweight title eliminator. Fabricio Werdum taking on Travis Brown. Both guys, Werdum hasn't fought in a while, but Brown is red hot. How do you see this one coming down?
Yeah, this is one of those fights where Werdum has been waiting and waiting and waiting for his title shot, and he's just not going to get it right now because of Cain's injuries. So it makes all the sense in the world to have him fight Travis Brown, who is on a hot streak. Werdum has been on a somewhat of a career resurgence. Certainly in recent years, he's looked very good, won 6 of his last 7 since losing to Junior Dos Santos back in 2008. That's how long ago that was. It doesn't fight very often, but since losing to Alistair Overeem in 2011, Roy Nelson, Mike Russo, and Big Nog, impressive victories, all of those. He makes sense here. He makes sense as a potential number one contender. What is his game going to be like? And we will see. Travis Brown is a guy who can punch hard, is extremely resilient. A guy that can take a hit, take punches, got some devastating elbows, some devastating power if he can land it. He certainly showed that power against Josh Barnett, showed it versus Overeem in that comeback victory, and certainly beat the hell out of Gabriel Gonzaga. His loss to Bigfoot Silva was, it looked like it was derailing his career there. But he's come back, and like I said, red hot. He's got all the tools. Can he avoid Werdum's submission skills? I think he can. He's not a stranger to submission. I don't think I certainly don't think he's going to have any kind of advantage on the ground versus Werdum. I think Werdum's certainly going to be the one who's going to be the leader in that category. But I think Werdum was going to have a lot of ring rust. Yeah. And, you know, I think I'm going to pick Brown here. I think he's got the momentum. I think he's got the power to knock Verdum out early, and I think that's how it's going to go down, KO in the first round.
I'm going to go with a KO as well in the first. I think Brown represents not really a hybrid fighter because he's really a brawler in a way, so he's kind of a throwback more than anything, but I just like the guy, and he has really shown his heart. Verdum, unfortunately, was in one of the worst fights I've ever seen. So I hope it doesn't go that way, where he just lays down trying to get the guy to go into his guard the entire fight, because we've seen that before from Verdum. So it's a big risk, quite frankly, for UFC, for Zuffa, to put Verdum in a main event on the network. So they're obviously hoping that this is going to be a good fight, and I hope there's fireworks, and I hope there's a knockout in the first. Now, the co-main event, Miesha Tate, she's back after suffering a loss from Ronda Rousey, taking on Liz Carmouche. Now, what do you got to say about this one, Omega?
Yeah, this is an interesting fight. I think these are two girls obviously have lost to Ronda Rousey's, and they're going to need to rack up some wins to get back up there and get back in that conversation. You know, Miesha Tate is a very well-rounded fighter. Got good wrestling, got good submission skills, just not good enough against Rousey. Her striking is okay. Going up against Liz Carmouche, who we know is extremely strong, I think that Carmouche is going to kind of bully Miesha Tate around here. Miesha Tate is not really that big for a 135-pound girl. I think Carmouche obviously has shows that great leverage, that great kind of stocky power at that weight class. Even though she dropped the decision to Alexis Davis, I thought she you know, kept her head and landed some shots, but I think this stacks up well for Carmouche in this one. I think despite Misha's well-rounded game, I think Carmouche's strength is going to overwhelm her. I think Carmouche is going to get her down and outpower her or put her up against the cage and land strikes and not allow Miesha the space to land strikes of her own. So I'm picking this fight. I think this is probably a little bit of a mild upset. If this happens, I think I'm picking Carmouche by decision.
I am as well. And I'm a big Tate fan, but be that what it may, I really do see it. And by the rankings, it would be an upset because Carmouche is number 7. Tate is number 3. What would this mean for Carmouche, a potential win over Tate?
Well, I don't think it gets her into a title shot immediately. I think it gets her back in that conversation. It's certainly probably one of the biggest wins for her career. I think it gets her the exposure she needs to be a bigger draw. And, you know, looking at the rankings, it brings her back up those rankings and says, okay, well, maybe I want to fight. Maybe it opens up some new fights for her with maybe Sarah McMahon.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Or someone like that. So
now, if Tate wins, back to the drawing board, you don't go a third time. I mean, with Rousey, what do you do with Tate if she happens to win?
I think it depends.
Maybe Zagano again? I mean, Tate?
It, depending on when Zagano comes back, maybe. You could maybe Kaufman, you know, for example, could be.
Yeah.
Or maybe she drops enough at that point, she could take on someone like Amanda Nunes or Jessica Eye at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So now this one I know you're looking forward to. It's a lightweight battle. Donald Cerrone taking on Edson Barboza. This has fireworks potentially written all over it.
Oh, yeah. I love this fight for a lot of ways. If this is a boring fight, I will be extremely shocked. You know, Cerrone is not a guy that sits and waits for guys. He's a slow starter. But when he turns it on, he's exciting. He has great kicks, great submission game, great striking, very well-rounded fighter, and a guy who's fought top competition the whole way. Edson Barboza is potentially a human highlight reel in any fight you see him in. with the exception of his last one, which was a rare decision victory. He's a guy that's got some great kicks, spinning kicks and leg kicks and stuff that can really mess you up. But you know, like I said, could potentially be a highlight reel KO if he manages to land it. This is a really even fight. I think Barbosa's only lost once. I think the difference here is the level of competition is only spot versus what Edson Barbosa's won. I mean, the top of Edson Barbosa's career fights is probably Jamie Varner, and he lost that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only lost, don't get me wrong. I mean, and there's no shame in losing to Jamie Varner, but he just hasn't fought that level of talent, and Cerrone is a huge step up for him. Cerrone is looking to make his mark again. He's had his up and down career. He needs to pick up the type of wins that make him noticeable and put him back in that conversation to win. He's coming off a two fight victory after it and a spectacular head kick victory back in January. I think another win puts him right back up there in the conversation in that weight class. And he's sitting there at number 8 right now. I think that would kick him back up there. And there's a lot of backlog right now in lightweight, and that's unfortunate. But I think he certainly needs to keep winning and winning spectacularly to stay in the conversation.
All right. Now, another fight I'm looking forward to, it's actually on the preliminaries. We'll get to that in a second. But rounding out the main card that starts at 8 o'clock on Fox is Brad Tavares taking on Yoel Romero. Do you know much about these guys?
Yoel Romero is a guy that's got some pretty decent power. It seems to take him a while to land stuff, but when he does land stuff, it's devastating. So he's got he's from Cuba, I think, but he's got one of those prototypical guys with the big hulking muscles that you expect guys to be knocking guys out left and right. He does, it just kind of takes him a while. So that's this is a good challenge for him. Tavares is a good fighter. He's got a decent, well-rounded game, but he doesn't finish guys. So this is going to be a tough test for Romero. Or for Tavares, I think, because he's going to have to avoid the power of Romero while trying to keep outpointing Romero. I think it's possible. I think Tavares has that kind of athleticism that will allow that to happen. Romero is just not that fast, but I think the longer it goes on, the longer it favors Romero, and Tavares is a decision fighter. So I'm going to pick Romero in the third round by KO. It's just going to take a while, but eventually he's going to land that shot.
All right, and we do have an update, don't we? It looks like the main event has a winner, Omega.
The main event has a winner. Tim Kennedy, by unanimous decision, defeating Michael Bisping, what is probably his biggest win of his career.
Oh, definitely.
I think that definitely catapults him up the rankings at middleweight. Bisping was tied for number 5. I think that puts him right up in the conversation. And he's likely facing a large step up in competition after Bisping. Looking at that particular weight class. Jacare potentially. Machida.
Rockhold.
Yeah, Belfort, Machida, who knows? I mean, there's not guys above him really that are really either in the conversation or not injured or something like that, other than Souza. Or fighting Chris Weidman next. That's a great, great win for Kennedy. It puts him right up there in the conversation in maybe one or two fights that he could be fighting for that middleweight title.
And Tommy Tolhold, you can find him at TripleTHS on Twitter. I'd follow him. It is some classic stuff that goes on there. He said they became best friends after the fight. they seem very Bisping raised his arm, and well, there you go. You never know what's going to happen. Now, the fight that I was looking forward to is Rafael Dos Anjos taking on, you're going to have to say the last name. I know who he is, but he's one of the destructive Russians. Looking forward to that.
Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Thank you.
Yes.
I really like Nurmagomedov. This is a guy that can slam you 21-0. He's just on a tear. You really got to watch out for this guy. He is a terror. He is wickedly strong. Seven KOs, seven KO victories, seven submission victories. Last couple of fights have gone to decision, but don't sleep on him. He is dangerous, especially if he gets you in a German suplex type hold where he can whip you over his head and make you pay for it on the canvas. I like him a lot. I think he is a guy that. When he starts fighting the top of the division, is going to give those guys a lot of trouble. And this is a fight, I think, certainly with Dos Anjos, is an opportunity fight for Nurmagomedov. Dos Anjos is in that conversation at lightweight, and he's a guy who's waiting around for his next opportunity for that top of the division to kind of settle out right now. But he is no joke. He's won his last four by decision. He's got some good submission skills, being one of those Brazilian guys. I like Nurmagomedov in this fight. I really do. I could see it going to decision, but I think I'm going to take Nurmagomedov by TKO in the second, by probably some kind of slam setting it up.
I have to agree. I really like Khabib. But moving on, my friend, anything else on this card that you're looking forward to? I know Pat Boom Boom Healy's fighting, trying to stay in the UFC, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Anything else on here?
Not really. Nothing here. Jordan Mean was a guy who was riding high, and now, since his loss to Matt Brown, probably needs this victory versus Hernani Perpetuo. It does, not that he's going to be out of the UFC if he does lose, but I mean, he's 1-1 now, and he was kind of that next guy that we were thinking coming out of Strikeforce, he might be a contender, and so he probably needs a victory there. So I'm looking at that one. But other than that, nothing on here that's really sticking out. The main card is stacked, but the preliminaries are somewhat lacking in this one.
I agree with that. I think the top five fights, you're not going to see better fights in a long time, quite frankly. Now, looking a little farther ahead, we're not going to get into this, but the pay-per-view coming up right there on April 26th, the following week, 10 days from now, it's Jones and Tajira. I said it right that time. Co-main event, Phil Davis and Anthony Johnson. That is a battle of who I hate more.
Yeah, I understand that.
A battle, whoever wins, I hate less. Hopefully it's Phil Davis, he has the tools to be a really exciting fighter, but he relies on the wrestling and just makes boring fights. And Anthony Johnson, I'm surprised he's back in the UFC, but I guess he's proven himself in World Series of Fighting. Now he's back in UFC. So just looking ahead to that, two interesting fights there. Also, Rockhold has his next fight against Bosch. And Takanori Gomi is actually fighting on that as well, in the undercard on Fox Sports 1. So that's coming up on the 26th. You want to make a very early prediction for the main event on that one?
I don't, actually. I want to think about that one because I like Tashira a lot. But Jones is Jones.
Jones is something. I'm not sure what to think of him. Each time he talks, I hate him a little bit more. He's a talented fighter.
Yes.
Absolutely talented fighter, even if he did lose his last fight. But we'll talk more about that next week as we review we'll talk a little bit about what happened tonight. We'll talk a little bit about the weekend show, and then we're going to preview another UFC card. That's the way things go sometimes. But right now, keep my heat on with the Mystery Men. We'll be back. We're going to talk about the results of CZW Best of the Best 13.
Mystery Men on HIC Talk Radio with Keep My Heat On from the album Musica and Mascarada, available now for only $9 at lucha-rock.com.
Now, Dan, are you ready to talk about some CZW Best of the Best?
I guess so.
Blood, pride, survive. You can shake and your bones are breaking. Yeah. Like the Nazi, like the tribes, they come to battle on this night. The ring, the field, the field of war. That's where they lay the law.
Lay the law, once again, prepare for war. CZW, an eye for an eye, to live is to die, a fear to die.
CZW, blood, to pride, survive.
Now, of course, over the
you
weekend.
You just read that?
No. I'm trying to hear the words. In that one section, it's just, I have no idea. That's why I play it, because I know we enjoy it so much. And Dan, you haven't lived life, quite frankly, until you've heard Captain Dave actually sing it word for word.
He probably does the lyrics, so I'm going to probably
He does.
Ask, I'm going to ask Dave, because I'm dying to know what.
He'll tell you. He'll tell you, brother. He'll let you know, brother. Good. Now, April 12th at the Flyer Skate Zone, Dan, available on CZWIPPV.com, available through RF Video now as well. CZW Best of the Best, and it opened up with DJ Hyde going out there talking about ungrateful wrestlers that rip on his company when who showed up, Dan? Kevin Steen showed up, Dan.
Yes, no, I know. I was trying to remember the name of his finishing move.
Package to pile driver.
Thank you. Kevin Steen showed up and dropped him, and it was beautiful. And what I liked about the whole thing is, as Kevin was leaving the ring, you know what? Yeah, I guess I'll do it again. I'm here to, what did he say? I'm here to please everybody. And he dropped him again. It was beautiful. I didn't really think he was going to show up.
Well, you know, they did that Twitter war to get over an angle that some fans may or may not have paid attention to, and it looks like it worked.
I was paying attention to it, but, you know, I'm like, well, are they working? Are they? You never know on Twitter.
Well, and then they had the 10-bell salute for the Ultimate Warrior, and then the first round opened up with Caleb Connolly, Azrael, and Biff Busick. Biff Busick pinned Azrael, and right there I knew that my favorites weren't going to make it through the first round.
Yeah, I kind of felt the way you did. It was kind of like what I wanted to happen and what I really thought was going to happen. We're on such complete opposite ends of the spectrum. I was just going to sit back and enjoy the show. There was great action, so I enjoyed the show, but, you know, I can't hate on the show for just be like, well, my guy didn't make it.
Oh, well, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you are. I was like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the show. I just was like, well, this is going to go badly.
Yeah. Now, the next match, how was that match before we move on from it?
I expected a slow burn, and the slow burn is not what I got.
Well, there you go.
They started it off, I thought, very well out of the gate. This is going to be a long and action-packed night. I had a different phrase in my head, but it made less sense, so I went with that one.
Action-packed action for those taking notes at home. Now,
I love it.
We had Bucks Belmar, Lucky 13, who was my favorite in this match, and Chuck Taylor. Looks like Chucky T won.
Taylor won. I'll tell you, I really liked Bucks Belmar a lot. I hope you felt the same. It would make me feel better to feel that way. I really enjoyed his shtick.
Well, there you go.
Another great match. That one pretty much went the way I thought it was going to go.
There you go. So, at that point, moving on, Chuck E. T. and Biff Busick, then A.R. Fox, Andrew Everett, and Speedball Mike Bailey making his debut in CZW. Of course, he's known up in Canada. Wrestles for C4, actually wrestled the Bulldozer Matt Tremont on the C4 show. Seek out that match. It's a very good one. Now, speaking of this match, I wasn't surprised when A.R. Fox won. I'll just put it that way.
I kind of figured, I wasn't warmed up to his attitude, his, I guess, newfound attitude at first, but, it didn't bother me as much as the show went on. Kind of like, whatever.
Indeed, the next match, our perennial favorite here on HIAC Talk Radio, the Greek God Papadon took on Tim Thatcher and Drake Younger. Drake Younger, of course, picking up the win here. How was the match, though, Dan?
I thought the match was okay. I guess I was really hoping. I in the back of my mind, there was no way they were going to get him in out of the first round. But I was really like, oh, please let him go into the second round, Papadon. But it was a good match.
All right. What was after that, Dan?
I was so hoping you were going to not do that to me.
Now, Shane Strickland took on Devin Moore from the Nation of Intoxication. Of course, Shane Strickland is your Wired champion. This was a ladder match. How did this one go, Dan?
I really thought Devin Moore was going to take that one.
But he did not, did he?
He did not, and... ladder matches are quickly becoming my favorite style of my favorite gimmick match again. When I was real young, I loved when they whipped out the ladder match, and it kind of became kind of like, not like it so much. CZW is bringing that back for me. I was very, very, very pleasantly entertained at that match.
Well, there you go. Shane Strickland, of course, the new flavor.
I don't care what anybody says. I love that guy. He's awesome.
Well, of course he is. I don't think anybody disagrees with you, Dan.
He's just amazing.
Now, Biff Busick took on Chuck Taylor in the semifinals. Looks like Busick won. It was a sleeper/chokehold going on there. The crowd did not like it, Dan.
No, it was the part of the show I felt that... this is not the performers. It got quieter in the place. I want to keep calling an arena. It's really not. It got a little quieter. But I'll say this. There wasn't a match on the show that I did not enjoy very much. And to be honest, there's a match or two sometimes on the CZW card where I'm like, eh. But this was the first show where I enjoyed it all around, really.
Well, there you go. Now, following that up, I thought this was a bit of a surprise. Drake Younger defeating A.R. Fox. At that point, you kind of had to figure Drake Younger was going to win it all.
You were calling Drake Younger. I was kind of pulling for A.R. Fox just to pull the to see if they would throw the left hook in. But I think we were pretty much on the same page with Drake Younger going. My only issue... Well, actually, wait till we get to that part. Go ahead, Dean.
Now, there was a match that was advertised that did not take place. Black G's could not make it.
They blew that off really quick, didn't they?
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer didn't make it either. DJ Hyde didn't have a partner. I don't know why he didn't wrestle Steen. Not my place to question it. I'm not a booker. I'm not in wrestling, so who the hell am I?
They got to let that one build.
I guess so. The guy's sitting there.
I know. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
But because of that, we didn't have to stay up till 12:30.
That's very true. So they went right to the finals.
Except for me, who drove from Harrisburg to home.
They went right to the finals, and it was Drake Younger and Biff Busick. The description I have here, Dan, is that they nearly killed each other. Very little exaggeration in that statement either.
No, I actually thought somebody was going to actually get carried out of there legit on a stretcher, or at least carried back by two referees. They certainly did not leave anything behind the curtain. I'll just say that. You have to, listen, if anybody's ever listened to the show and thinking about ordering a CZW pay-per-view, I love the best of, it's becoming my favorite, if not favorite, type of tournament. I love the three-way dances that start off the rounds and then go into the traditional matches. And this show was just great. So if anybody should think about, well, maybe I should watch this, order that. Watch it. It's a great show.
So Drake Younger wins. He gets his farewell, even though he had a farewell a couple months ago when he wrestled Danny Havoc in a dark match after the main event.
This kind of goes back to what you're saying. Or I'm not the booker, but and I'm not.
I'm not being negative. It's their decision, and they wanted to put over Younger before he. Now Drake Younger has signed with WWE. He will be going in, I believe, May or June down to Florida. So that was his send off from a company that he is still the longest reigning world heavyweight champion. So it was a fine farewell from a company that did a lot in his career.
I think if I say anything, it's going to sound like I'm criticizing or being negative. I don't mean it in a negative way. I congratulated him on Twitter.
Well, here's the thing.
I thought it was great for him. Go ahead.
Here's the only point that I want to make, and I think we're on the same page. A tournament like this should be to build up an up-and-comer or someone that you're going to book. As a contender to a title or whatever, this kind of catapults them into the next phase. Kind of like the Super 8 in that regard. Now, Drake Younger didn't really need the win, but he gets the win as a nice send-off, and that's fine, and that's why they did it. And I understand that, and that's DJ Hyde's decision. He owns the company. It's his company. Who am I to question it?
Absolutely.
So, and it was a great send-off, and I'm not saying anything negative about it.
I think it's
great that he won that tournament, and, you know, from his home, that was really his home. Before he took off in PWG and IWA Mid-South and other various promotions, that was his home. So
the only bummer is just, obviously wouldn't, but they pushed that, they had him win, and it doesn't mean anything. They're never going to mention it on WWE TV. They won't acknowledge it.
I think it was, like I said, a fond farewell to someone that meant a lot to that company. As I said, longest reigning champion. Masada's number two on that list.
And look at it this way. We get to watch him on the network every week now. So hopefully soon.
Well, it took. Is Sammy on the network yet, or? I don't think
Sammy's been in a match. No, Sammy's not been on the network.
Hasn't been on the NXT.
No, I think I dreamed that they teased it. I could be wrong.
I thought he had a match, but I think it's one of their live shows that they go out and do. So I don't think he's actually officially debuted on TV Solomon Crowe.
I've missed two episodes of NXT since the network's been on, and I keep forgetting to go back to watch those. And I really want to because Kelly wants to watch those too, and I always forget to go back and check them.
Speaking of the network, Dan, I have to say I hate the main event. I hate the commentary. I hate just about...
Oh, the show main event.
Now, anyway, there was a number one contenders match for the CZW World Tag Team titles, and it was won by the Juicy Product. So David Starr, JT Dunn, they win. I believe that DJ Hyde has plans. They have the look. I think that you might be seeing David Starr. He's only a year in, about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. He started at the Academy last year.
Jesus.
But he looks like a million bucks. He has that look, and I honestly think you'll be seeing him within 2 to 3 years in Florida, if that long.
For being a year in, he's...
It might be two, but he's very young in his career. He's a young guy.
He's got the look and the moves of somebody who's been doing this for longer than that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that he was that...
Some people are... It's like Oz in a way.
I was about to say Oz. Oz Tyler, and I finally, last month at On Point, got to see him in person, and I was just... personally blown away that you just started?
Yeah. Yeah. he was less than a year in. He said it here on when we had an interview with him. So
it was funny. I walked up to him because I had never met him in person. Hey, hi, Dan. It's finally nice to meet you. You know, I'm from hell. He goes, I know who the hell you are.
Well, getting back to Best of the Best, Dan. How did it overall your thoughts? I know you already kind of said it, but overall your thoughts.
I'll give it an A.
A solid A.
I give it a solid A. And the only reason why it's not A plus is because I just didn't agree. Who cares? The winner was not who I didn't agree with who won it. And again, I'm going to specify. I don't mean that negatively. I just thought it. My pick was somebody else. With that being said, I loved the show, and I'll say it again. I thought it was, from start to finish, one of the more solid shows I've seen in a while. And again, anybody who's listening to this, order that. It's an excellent show. And anything else on demand, CZWIPPV.com and our video, they got all their shows on demand. Go back and watch that stuff. It's great indie wrestling.
Now, I do want to bring up the next CZW show will be taking place in Providence, Rhode Island. It is called To Infinity. Now, that's, you have to think about To Infinity and Beyond because it's in Beyond's territory, but it's a CZW show. But that being said, there are some matches already signed for this show. It is a Sunday show, April 27th, up in Rhode Island. We already have, for the CZW World title, the reigning champion Drew Gulak taking on Biff Busick. Dan, quick thoughts.
I just got to the page now to see the matches. Drew Gulak better be careful. I could see Biff Busick taking the title from him.
They aren't wasting any time with this one. CZW World Tag Team title match. The Beaver Boys, the reigning champions, taking on the Juicy Product.
I love the Beaver Boys. I've been following them ever since I saw them the first time at ECWA. I would like to see the Juicy Product get on top, but I think the Beaver Boys have a little bit of time left in them.
We have a grudge match, Dan. Danny Havoc taking on the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont.
Well, I'm going to go blindly with Tremont. Come on.
Masada takes on Chris Dickinson. Dan, your thoughts?
That is a tough one. I'm going to pass on that one. I'll go back and say I might give it to Masada. I might give it to Dickinson because of Masada's leg.
There you go.
They have fought before.
Masada was victorious when his leg was in much worse shape, and Masada was reigning champion at the time. It was about a year ago. WSU Showcase match, Kimberly takes on Alexis.
I'm going to have to go with Kimberly on that one.
Yeah, I feel you. Now, for those listening here tonight, or if you're listening on the podcast, all you have to do, go ahead and send me an email. Dean@HIACTalkRadio.com. That's DEAN@HIACTalkRadio.com. Email me. Let me know how many tickets you want. I have a few available. Meet me at the show. You'll get in for free.
And you get an autograph from the Dean of Credibility, Dean Dixon. Those cost far. $20.
I didn't go that far, Dan. That's,
you know. I'm trying to get money. Come on.
I am printing money when I put my pen to paper.
I just said that. Did you not just hear me?
But I'm not giving it away for free.
I just said $20!
You inferred it was free. Normally they cost $20 is what you said. And get... Ah, damn.
No, I said if you got $20.
I wish I had replay, Dan.
Chris.
Don't bring him into this.
Yeah. No, damn it. He's on the show. Did you not hear what I said? No, I'm not doing this. Forget it.
I heard what you said. I'm on your side, Dan.
Thank you.
I disagree.
Sting, Chris. Sting.
Now.
Sting.
Chris, do you have anything else for us tonight?
You want to talk about Jake Shields?
Oh, yeah, he was released from USC. Your thoughts, Jake Shields being released. I, for one, am very happy he's gone. Has he been signed yet, or is he still floating around?
I think he's still floating, but it is what it is. He's not the most exciting fighter. I dislike seeing top 10 talents. drop from the UFC on a single loss or a loss of any kind. I think if you're top 10, you really should be in UFC unless you're, like, horrible or, you know, beat your wife or something. So, you know, in that, even though I don't like Jake Shields as a mixed martial artist, I just don't think it was the right choice. But
I'm happy. You know what? He'll be in World Series of Fighting. World Series of Fighting, we kind of make a joke about it, and that's like, but they have the money to do that, and it gives a fighter another place, you know, to build up some wins, to build up. I mean, look what it did for Anthony Rumble Johnson. Now he's back in a co-main event for UFC.
Yeah, World Series. I mean, you know, we talk about legacy. We talk about World Series of Fighting. These are important organizations to the sport because they give young up-and-comers a place to go and fight top-tier competition. And it gives the guys who were cut from the UFC a chance to recover or a chance to make some money. It's good for the sport.
Exactly. Dan, anything else?
Just that Adam Cole just won the Supercard of Honor, whatever number that is, 8? What number is that?
I have no idea, Dan.
Supercard 8.
It's 8.
Thank you.
I have no idea, Dan.
I didn't even know
there was wrestling going on tonight, quite frankly.
I don't think that's the real Roman numeral for 8, but we'll go with that.
No, that's the real Roman numeral for 8.
Anyway,
that's how Roman numerals work.
Next week, we're going to
hate you, Chris.
Next week, we're going to have Paul Bentello. He is, of course, an MMA icon. I call him an icon. You can call him a legend, whatever you want to call him. He has certainly been around every major American promotion. Former King of the Cage heavyweight champion. He actually knocked out Tank Abbott decisively.
Tank Abbott.
Hey, Tank Abbott was a brawler. Tank Abbott was a big name. You could say that was during the cage fighting years of UFC, for sure. But he was a big name for USC in the early days. But that being said, a win over numerous guys, fought over him. Omega, we have a chance to speak with Paul Bentello.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. You got to think he's got lots of stories to tell. He's certainly got a lot of career to cover, and it should be a great interview.
That's right. And he is now signed with Legacy Fighting Championships. And, of course, when I say Legacy Fighting Championships, the owner of Legacy Fighting Championships will be back 2 weeks from today on the 30th. And we're going to – they have a lot planned. Cejudo's actually in a title fight coming up, one of their vacant titles that they have. Damon Jackson, who we had on not too long ago, is going to be fighting for the lightweight title. So Damon the Leech getting his opportunity. So we're going to talk to him about that. Talk to him about Holly Holm. I'm sure he has a lot to say there. A lot of negotiations, and maybe he doesn't know much. Maybe I think he knows more than he really does, but it should be interesting. What are you looking forward to from McMaynard as he makes his return?
Look, I mean, this guy is very intelligent, very well-spoken, runs a great company, has a lot of fighters with either names or up-and-coming. You know, he's an interesting guy, and I want to know, like you said, about Holly Holm.
Leonard Garcia,
Paul Bentello, and who he thinks is his next breakout star.
Very true. It could be Alex Bet on Black. You never know.
You never know.
It could be Damon. Obviously, he thinks highly of Damon Jackson, so giving him a title shot. So a lot going on there. And Legacy, like I said, they're expanding. They're doing a lot of good things, and you can catch them on Axis TV. It's usually a Friday night. I like Friday night fights. What about you?
I'd like it if I could actually see some.
Yeah. You got to get Axis TV somehow.
Talk to Time Warner Cable or Comcast.
When Comcast buys it out, you'll have access to TV. So
there's the silver lining.
There is a silver lining, Omega.
There's one silver lining in a pile of poop.
Man, I just hang on to these things.
No, I'm fine. I just think it's funny.
Well, be that as it may.
It's like Tang Abbott being a member of 3Count.
Omega. Where can the fine people find you?
Follow me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
DanLaw83 and Obey the Puck at Obey Puck Show.
Dan, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I got it. If I just... Sorry, go ahead.
What is wrong with you tonight?
I don't know. I'm so excited about things.
I guess so. Calm down. Push that button on, like, 3PO. Turn you off. You're in the asteroid belt. Freaking out, talking about stats or something. Got to reach behind you. Turn off the knob. Now, I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can also follow the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio, at HIAC Talk Radio. Check out the website, HIACTalkRadio.com. Make sure you check out our affiliates there as well. MMA Warehouse, T-Fury, plenty of places to shop. Just click on the pictures in the sidebar, whether it's on the left or the right, depending on the page you're on. Just click there, and you'll be able to make a purchase, and you'll be supporting the podcast as well. Also, if you want to support the podcast directly and get some classic wrestling DVDs, check out the eBay site. You can do that just at the top. You'll see HIAC eBay. So my first customer, I hope he's very satisfied with his shipment that he'll be getting tomorrow. Now, you can. We'll be back next week with Paul Bentello. We also have After Midnight, I believe, coming up on Friday. So it's been a full week of shows. Also, make sure you check out last night's Moose Knuckle Radio, as we talked about the unemployment crisis and a lot of other things, including the passing of John Pinette. John Pinette, you can still catch some things on Comedy Central, and you can catch things on Netflix. There are some instant stand-up. Celebrate his life by checking out some of his comedy. And also check out Obey the Puck, as they were joined by new member Paul Baker of Stadium Journey as they discussed the NHL playoffs. But without further ado, Dan, we got to get out of this place.
This dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine. People tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now my girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing